Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And a very happy Saturday here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jody, joined by Lindsay here on Detours. We're with you right up to 1 o'clock. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm good. I'm so fit. It's a crime, actually, Jody. It's just such a weird morning this morning. Like the trams are being diverted. So I think it's a Spanish festival that's on today on Johnson Street. Is it the Spanish festival?
Yeah, it may well be. Hola.
Well, there's hola. There's sort of three people wandering around there, and then the trams are diverting. I hate tram diversions. And there's something going on in the mall as well. And it's just really sad that it's raining. But, you know, there's a couple of people out there enjoying it. So it's, you know, it's hot still.
It is really hot in Melbourne. It's
sticky.
Apparently it was going to be 33 degrees. I think somebody's fibbing because I don't think it's going to get that hot today.
Well, I heard, what was it yesterday? Yesterday was just horrible. It was windy and hot. And I don't like the wind. And I don't think anybody does, really. And then today it was meant to, I think, rain and be about 24 or something. I don't know. We'll get there, but it's just icky. Icky and sticky.
Never mind. Well, I tell you where it would be icky and sticky is up in Queensland at the moment. And a special hello to all the Joysters who are at the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia's conference in the Gold Coast. And that's where Greggles, our co-host, is, and representing Joy and no doubt having a great time and involved with community broadcasting.
Yeah. I bet they're having a whoop-de-doo of a time up there.
I'm sure they are. Mm. And joining us here in the studio is Corey Barr, who is... has had some amazing travel stories to tell, and he'll be telling us more about that in just a few minutes. But we'd love to hear from you. You can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949. You might have an idea, a suggestion, even a criticism. You know, we like feedback.
As long as it's constructive.
That's correct. On air at joy.org.au. And we'd love to hear from you. And welcome to the studio, Corey. And I understand that you've been to Israel and Jordan. Is that correct?
Yes, I have been. I've actually been to Israel many times. Jordan only once recently, but yeah, very interesting. And the weather there, very much like today, the really hot, warm weather. Even if it's raining, it's still nice and warm. And I like it.
You like it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I might be the only one here who does, but I like it.
That's okay. Mm. We can be different. That's what diversity's about.
I think it's the heat's fine. I love the heat. Don't like the wind. But when it gets icky and sticky, it sort of...
Still don't mind it. Really? I don't know. Still don't mind it. Yep.
So when you're in somewhere, you know, in a country like Israel and it's icky and sticky, you know, and your energy levels don't sort of plummet a bit, or...
No, not for me. I just find the opposite. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only person who does that. But Tel Aviv, one of the biggest cities, it probably is the biggest city in Israel, can get really, really humid. Things like, you know, you get out of the shower, you try drying yourself off and you're just as wet as, you know, when you started in the shower, you know, because you can't ever get dry. It's that humid. And I still didn't mind. I love it.
That's unusual. I actually, for some reason, thought that Israel would be really dry heat.
There are areas. It's actually got many different climates, interestingly.
So
yeah.
Tel Aviv is very humid, though.
Yep. And then even Jerusalem, which is only about an hour and a half away, can be totally different climate. In winter, Jerusalem gets very cold. And not every year, but there has been reports of snow, even in Jerusalem.
Wow.
But not...
I'm amazed. Because that's where, until you travel, you know, we have these sort of, I suppose, blocked ideas sometimes of what countries are like. And I've always imagined that Israel is one of those warmer countries because of where it's situated. And to hear that they've had snow, I'm bamboozled.
Oh, no. It can get very hot. There's definitely, I sort of think of it as a much warmer climate than here in Melbourne, I suppose. But it has such a range, really big range of... temperatures.
Now, Corey, I have to ask, you know, Jordan and Israel probably aren't on everybody's wish list of travel destinations, probably because, not for their rich history and amazing religious fascination and cultures, but more just people's fear of perhaps it being unsafe.
Yeah,
why
absolutely.
Is it that you chose to go to Israel?
Well, with Israel, my family's Jewish, and we have even my dad's brother living there. You know, a lot of family who live in Israel. So it's really easy for us to go, and there's always, you know, some kind of family celebration, weddings or anything, which is actually the last time I went there for a wedding. And there's definitely a bit of, you know, everybody gets a little bit anxious and even across the Jewish community, some parents do not want their kids to go to Israel because of all of that. And even in Jordan, I probably felt a little bit nervous as well, just because, you know, I wasn't used to it. I'm not really familiar with everything. And I'm concerned because I'm Jewish in a Muslim state. You know, I was a bit nervous too, but I sort of get over it. I don't know. I don't know what to say, because there's definitely an element of things are more dangerous than just staying in Melbourne.
And sometimes too, Corey, if you sort of fall into the fear and believe in the fear, you know, it's like, you know, if there's a dog and the dog smells the fear on you, you know what I mean? It's sort of, if you've sort of got an attitude and just block off to it, I think you'd probably have a little bit more time. Be aware, but not afraid.
And you can't do stupid things. There's definitely places, even within Israel, that I would never go. I'll obey all of the warning signs. You know, you hear about the Gaza Strip and everything. I've just never been there. There's no reason why I would ever be able to go in there. And so I can't say I've ever been there.
And things like that sometimes too, I think, you know, when we travel, it sort of, it becomes a little bit of a bizarre fascination. Like we see it on the news and we think, you know, what's really going on there? But there is a danger there.
And there's plenty of travellers in Israel, Jordan, all those areas who are there for that reason. Certainly a country, I can't remember if I'm thinking of Lebanon or Syria, but the two of them, I would never feel safe enough to go into, and very few people do, but there's definitely those travellers who will go there just because of that fascination.
To see. Mm. So can I ask you, Corey, that with travelling into those countries, because you were born in Australia.
Australian passport and everything,
Okay, and you'd still feel that fear?
I would feel, I suppose I don't feel the fear in just flying into Israel and going to the places I've been to before, but a bit of fear in any other country, Middle Eastern country.
Okay, it's interesting because, you know, I actually have Israel on my list of places to visit, and I have no idea why. And I think it's because of having so many Jewish friends.
Yep.
And like one of my friends said to me a couple of weeks ago that she is coming to Israel with me because I'll insult people because I don't know how to heckle. and I don't. So, you know, I'll definitely take her with me. But it does hold that fascination, you know, the religions that were born there, the constant sort of, it's in the news all the time. It's always in the news for the wrong reason. And yet we know there's a lot more to this country.
And as we were talking, Lindsay, I was thinking about the people who we've interviewed on the Detours show over many, many years who have connections with that part of the world. And one person was Nitzan Galadi, who is an Israeli film director who did some amazing documentary films at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. And in fact, I believe he won one of the best documentaries in 2009. And you know, he was talking about his experiences of being a gay man in Israel and, you know, I guess the acceptance or non-acceptance, depending on who you're talking to.
Exactly.
Did you have any issues?
No, but there's, you know, an amount to which I would have hidden the fact that I'm gay, you know, everything like that. And, it depends where you go. Depends where you go.
One of the most beautiful things that Nitzan did do in his film was it was Jerusalem where they were holding the Pride March. And the interesting thing was that the head mufti, I think it was, and the cardinal and the head rabbi, and I don't know the correct terminology there, the only reason they ever came together and sat in the one room in something like 2,000 years was out of their hatred for gays.
That's right.
Which is amazing.
And just also interesting that the Pride March is held in Jerusalem, where it's not, it's a little bit more religiously minded as a city than Tel Aviv. But I think that's the point as well. So it's just so interesting. My family who lives there, I wouldn't tell that I was gay. And I've had discussions with them, you know. My uncle said something like, they all think I'm just not religious. So, you know, I've grown away from the religion. And my uncle, I remember just a comment that I thought was really strange. He said, it's a bit strange. It's not right that you're not religious anymore, but at least, you know, you're not saying to me something like you're a homosexual. And I thought, now I know where I stand, whether I'm going to come out to him or not, you know.
That's understandable that you felt like that.
But then there are plenty. So I've just one of the things that I really thought is really interesting about Israel is you have very religious Jewish people, communities there that are so religious. They're just so insulated, you know, from everything. Everything is run the same way as would have been running a few hundred years ago, with matchmakers for marriages and everything. Like the rabbi has the final say, etc., etc. And it's still happening today in some communities. But then when you go to a secular part of Israel, and even if it's a secular village or farm village or anything like that, they are so anti-religion, or this is just my opinion of it, they're just so anti-religion that if something is done outside of Israel in a Western country, they want to be, you know, at the forefront. They do not want to be held back at all by the fact that they are Jewish, and they all know they're Jewish, but it's irrelevant if, you know, people are having gay marriages somewhere else in around the world. Then there's no reason why a secular Israeli will stand for not being able to have that as well. So there are definitely some different circles within Judaism that allow gay marriage and things like that.
And we'd love to hear more about that further on in the show here on Detours. If you've just joined, I'm Jodie, joined by Lindsay, and we're with you right up to 1 o'clock here on Joy 94.9. That gorgeous voice there before is Corey, and he's joining us as well, talking about his trips to Israel, numerous trips, and Jordan. Stay with us, and we've got some great music coming up soon. My special thanks to AJ for his help with the selection. We're going to have some Katie Lang, because she's been in town recently, and, of course, Dolly Parton.
Oh, heaven. Listen to us right around the nation.
Joy 94.9.
Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world.
Joy 94.9.
You know, people been talking about the end of time ever since time began. In the meantime,
And that fantastic voice is Dolly Parton with one of her new songs, In the Meantime, and she's going to be here in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia very soon. And I'm excited because I'm going to see her.
Oh, I still haven't got my ticket. I'm waiting for the last concert because I know that if I just get one ticket, I'll be right up the front. You know, I'll have that one ticket in the middle, in the front seat, and everyone going, oh, how did you get that?
Well, I was talking to someone the other day who said she's even got a Dolly Parton wig to wear, and I thought, well, you'll be amongst the crowd because there's heaps of people wearing wigs like that, including
you,
lots of drag queens. No, not me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's too hot.
Too hot, yes.
Yeah. If you've just joined us, this is Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Lindsay, and our special guest in the studio is Corey, and we've been talking about travel, of course, being a travel show. You would expect that we would. But we were in the news this week. I think we should have a bit of chat about this. Yeah. Was a pretty hideous example of when things can go pear-shaped with an airline that went from Birmingham to Amritsar in India.
Yep.
And upon the return via Austria, they actually pulled the hat around for everybody to contribute for the rest of the fueling. And they were trying to raise something like £30,000.
£100, which is absolutely outrageous. I mean, do they think that they're on sort of some sort of road trip, you know, where your friends chip in for a bit of fuel, you know, to get you down the coast? I could not believe that people were just handing over their cash.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, like a little tarpaulin muster here. We need to, you know, if you want to go where, you know, get home, you're going to have to put in a couple of quid. It's crazy. The 21st century flying.
And I was reading some of the feedback online, particularly BBC World, who cover a lot of travel. And there was one woman who was saying, and then they said, if you haven't got cash on you, don't worry, we'll go to an ATM.
You're kidding. So please explain on this one. Like, if they're going to the ATM, is there an ATM on the plane or they're waiting? Are they going to take a loan against your card or something to get there?
That's just
outrageous. I mean, you'd never ever fly again. But I sort of looked at the guys and I made them no disrespect and I thought, yeah, are you really collecting money for petrol? Because they sort of didn't look, you know? Yeah.
I got that feeling as well, yeah.
Yeah. Is this really for petrol or for, you know, a couple of stubbies down the local? I was onto them. Yeah. But it's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
And if you've had an experience like this, we would love to hear. You can email us on air at joy.org.au or SMS 0427JOY949. Corey, travelling from Melbourne to Israel, what's the best route or the routes that you've travelled?
Well, yes, by plane.
Oh, really?
Obviously, yes.
Okay, good
we
to
usually
hear.
Take a plane. And it's not that easy. There aren't many airlines that both fly to Australia and Israel. But the easiest way, everybody seems to go through either Singapore, Thailand, Bangkok, or Hong Kong. And so one flight from Australia to one of those countries in Asia and then from Asia to Israel. And so Israel has an airline. There's plenty of ways, but there's many more ways of getting from Australia to Asia. And I've actually taken, because I'm heading back to Israel in January for another wedding, the cheapest way that I'm going to get, or that I found, was via Jordan as well, with a Jordanian airline as well.
So I know that there's some difficulties traveling between countries with having visas in your passport.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so I think, now this is from my understanding, and obviously I'm coming from an understanding where I've been Jewish all my life, etc., etc., and these are the stories that I've heard, but what I hear is that if you have Israel stamped in your passport and you show that passport to various countries, they will not let you in. Even Malaysia is what I've heard. You know, Muslim countries that don't let you in because you've got an Israel stamp in your passport. And another thing is that Israel's airline does not fly directly over many of the Middle Eastern countries. So when you take your flight from Thailand or Bangkok or Hong Kong, then you'll find if you follow the route that the plane is taking over the ground, it does this roundabout sort of J shape to get around all of the Middle Eastern countries and go almost into Europe and back, rather than flying directly there, which is probably why I found it, because obviously the fuel costs and that make those flights a bit more expensive, and why my flight via Jordan on a Jordanian airline has been much cheaper. It's just direct. It's just a one straight line.
You've never been asked to put money in a hat, have you?
No, thank God, no.
But see, I find that absolutely sickening, and you know, I used to love Malaysia, but I have to admit that, you know, I've got a bit of a boycott with some countries. Mm-hmm. I can't understand in the 21st century that a plane, or because you identify as being Jewish, you are not allowed, and yet this is allowed to go on.
It's interesting for me too, but you know, I've got an attitude where I really don't mind what other people do, and I don't mind if you're Jewish or if you're Muslim or you know, I don't mind how you identify in whatever way, but there are definitely people who still do. And even going back to traveling in Israel, you just don't. Let's say I was female, I wouldn't be wearing what I'm wearing now as a male in those countries. And what I'm wearing now is just something that shows my shoulders.
A tank top.
Yeah, I've got a tank top.
Oh,
so you just can't. Okay. Singlet. You just can't walk around some parts of Israel if you're a woman. Showing your shoulders, you know, and things like that, and it's a different attitude to.
It's interesting that, because, you know, there is that, you know, one of my favourite sayings is, you know, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to my death your right to say it. But sometimes when it comes down to, you know, like basic things that help people just enjoy their life, I just can't abide by that. You know, a little bit of sunshine on your shoulders doesn't mean that you're, you know, I don't know what term to use, but you're an open woman, shall we say, or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with you. And it's just interesting. And that's one of the reasons why Israel itself is really fascinating. But yeah, it's so interesting when you get to these issues, you know, religious issues or something like that, that a certain type of person cannot do a certain type of thing because of some rule, something. And we don't understand why the rule's in place, but it just is.
I think that sometimes they don't even know why the rules are in place. Because I've sometimes, you know, with my, you know, religious friends, you know, things about, you know, don't put your feet on, or no, don't show me, the Muslim friend of mine, don't show me the soles of your feet. It's absolutely insulting. And I'm like, look, it's just the soles of my feet. It's just my shoes. Like, for goodness sakes, it doesn't mean I hate you or you hate me.
Yeah.
You know, don't, and another Muslim friend of mine was, oh, no, don't whistle in the house, you know, Allah will get you or something. And I said, well, my grandma used to say that, but she'd say, oh, yeah, the devil's going to come up and grab you. Whistling. You know, she sort of made light of it because obviously there's a Catholic thing about that as well. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, so not sort of going on with the religious thing, but, you know, to confine people so much is just so terribly wrong, I think.
And isn't that the most fascinating thing about travel, though?
That you learn.
Being exposed to different cultures and customs and you know, being respectful of that when you're there. Now, Richard from Murrumbeena has said that some of his Israeli friends refer to Tel Aviv as the gayest city in the world, and it's his experience that it's true. And aside from all the difficulties, Israel is a unique place and a must for any traveller, gay, straight, Jewish or otherwise.
Wow. Yeah.
Terrific. Thanks, Richard, for listening.
Yeah, and I think I would agree with his comments as well, because getting into Israel is not difficult as far as I understand, no matter what's in your passport, no matter what. So I can see why he's saying it's a must for travellers. Mm.
Now, in a few moments, we'll come back and hear more about Corey's adventures, and I'm really interested to know what are the key must-dos in both Israel and Jordan here on Joy 94.9.
Listen to Joy when you want, where you want, with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Lindsay. And Greg is, of course, at the Country Music Festival. I've got Dolly Parton
on
the brain.
Well, howdy there, Greg.
Two types of music, country and Western. The Community Broadcasting Association of Australia conference in the Gold Coast. And hello to all the joysters there representing us.
What if they're listening?
Well, they bloody better be. There's trouble. No, they're probably at some workshop or something. And now, joining us in the studio, we have Corey, who is talking about his trips to Israel and Jordan. And we've heard about how to get there and then some of the cultural aspects. But what would you say would be some of the must-see highlights in Israel?
Okay, so in Israel, there's so many for me. And I've been there. I spent a year there after year 12 as a gap year. So there's so many things, and just the major, major things like the Dead Sea, supposedly the body of water that's the deepest. So the surface of the water is something like 400 meters under sea level. And there's something, I'm not 100% sure, but it's amazing. It's full of salt. Its salt content is really high. So when you go in, you float really easily, that type of thing. And all the mineral things come from it. You can even get stuff from that area in Australia, some beauty products and things like that. And that's just, yeah, also very interesting. Really close to there is Masada. I think that was a fortress used years ago by one of the kings back... This must have been a really long time ago because Israel has not had a king for a very, 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 very long time. But I'm pretty sure that area dates back to that. And there, and even Jerusalem itself has all those... that the old city and all this history in it, the walled part of the old city of Jerusalem, it's just incredible. Everything is built in Jerusalem stone. It's this white stone. I'm not sure about the science of it, but everything just looks totally different. So if you've only ever lived in Melbourne, you only ever seen Melbourne, and then you go into Jerusalem, it is so different. Everything is just... Everything. The roads look different because the buildings and everything, they're made from different building materials. It just, everything is completely the opposite. I don't know. I don't even know what else to tell you. But there's the south of Israel has a desert. There's so many things.
I actually saw once. It was around Easter time, and you know, it was one of those little, let's go to Jerusalem, have a look at what's happening there around Easter. And yeah. And there was, and I don't know if you saw it, Corey, but there are actually these little like plastic bags, and they were supposed to be pieces of the cross, and they were like, you know, $5 or something. And people were lining up for these pieces. And I couldn't help but think, God, that must have been a big cross because this has been going on for years and years and years.
Well, it's a bit different to the Berlin Wall because, I mean, was pretty bloody big. I've got pieces of that from, you know, 1990.
Wow.
Yeah, because the wall came down in 89, in November, and I was there in 1990, and I was amazed at actually... or how big it was and how long and how many pieces you could take. Well, they had these guys who just were giving, you know, you could rent a little pick for a while and then whack off a bit of the Berlin Wall yourself and pop it in a box and off you go.
Was there a charge involved in that?
Yeah.
See, but marketing, it's everywhere, isn't it? But
People say one thing with one of the walls of the old city, and it's one of the walls that used to be around the temple. A lot of Jewish people have the custom of writing a note with something that you want, a wish type of thing, and folding it up and putting in the cracks of the the walls, and supposedly it might come true.
Do you know anyone that it's come true that's used this system? Because I'm going over there
sure
immediately.
I'm not sure if you're allowed to say. I don't know if you'd be allowed to say.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, it's one of those things, like when you've got to make a birthday wish, you can't really say it.
Okay. The law of the wish.
I'm not sure. But that's just a custom. All these different things to do. There is the Israel borders onto the Mediterranean Sea, so there's beaches and everything. Tel Aviv is along the beach too. It's quite nice. And I think there's a gay beach there too, so a section of it that everybody knows
it's a gay
people
beach.
who identify as, you know, anything other than straight will be in that area. Interesting.
So when you're in Israel, what terminology do they use? Do they use the word like homosexual, or do they use gay, or is there been... Because I know
you're
in Arabic...
You're testing my Hebrew now.
Sorry.
I am okay with Hebrew, but I think they just take the English words and make them, you know, put the Hebrew writing to it. So there is... I think a derogatory term would be homo. I think that is used sort of more derogatory, but then, you know, there's bi and things like that. It's just the same terminology as far as I know. Yeah.
Terrific. That song we played before was Come Away With Me by Norah Jones.
Yeah.
And this is Detours right up to 1 o'clock here on Joy. Jody, joined by Lindsay, and that gorgeous voice is Corey talking about Israel. Let's now talk to Jordan about Jordan.
Yes.
Tell us more.
So with Jordan, and I've just been there recently on my most recent trip to the Middle East, we went to Petra, and that so That is a ancient city that was carved out of rock. So it's just huge. You just walk around and everything, it's just these cliff faces, basically, that have rooms and buildings inside them. So you walk in and you're suddenly in this huge room that's just been carved out of rock. It wasn't built, it was just, it was carved out. Incredible. And it's lasted so long. You walk in, it's quite expensive to get in for, you know, the rest of Jordan prices.
Well, it's not like you can go anywhere else and experience it, really.
That's true. That's true. So they do, it's this, you know, unique market that they've got. Yeah. But once you get in, it's just incredible that these places were even able to be built so long ago. And they last as well. So you walk around, it's enormous. And we spent an entire day walking around, just taking more photos and more photos of this different room, and you still see things that were used as well, like pottery jars and things like that, and little pieces cracked off. There's also carvings in the rock as well, and just everything. Some of the buildings had pillars and stuff, and they said that there was a lot of Greek influence in the architecture, things like that. You can spend so many days there, and we just spent one, and you walk up and down the cliffs, and just everywhere you turn. They've also, it's really nice, they have set up quite nicely, so you get to something interesting and they will have information about it, and they'll tell you, well, this thing was meant to be some kind of garden or some kind, you know, some kind of monastery, and they'll tell you, they'll give you as much information as they can. So that Petra, as a site, very interesting.
What about that, Lynn?
I also went in Jordan to Amman. I believe that's the capital of Jordan. And we spent most of our time in the old part of Amman. Now, interestingly, we were there during Ramadan. So nobody can eat during the day. Even they sort of discouraged us from eating during the day.
That's
as
appropriate,
well.
I think.
Yeah. And I didn't mind that at all. But you know, you can go into your hotel room. No one's gonna be spying on you and making sure you're not eating. No one cares that much. But you know, if in public, you're not gonna grab a hamburger and start, you know, eating it, which is also probably a problem because of
halal.
Halal. But So the interesting thing that we found was that as soon as the sun set, suddenly everybody was eating at these tables in restaurants, and they had set tables out on the street onto the footpaths and everything so that enough people could have room to eat. Everybody was eating for about half an hour, and then suddenly every shop opened. Everything was open. And we thought, oh, during the day, there's nothing wrong with what's going on here. It wasn't extremely quiet. It wasn't really busy. It was just, you know, sort of normal. And suddenly, because we only arrived in the day, suddenly as soon as night came, everything just opened up. There were so many people around and huge markets, and I came back with so many shirts.
As you should.
Yeah.
If there's a market open.
Yeah, I've never actually travelled during Ramadan any country, actually. So that's always fascinated me of the experience and sort of having that insight into the customs.
Yeah. Yeah, I went into one shop that just particularly interested me. So many little delicate things. You can't even classify. There were guitars hanging from the ceiling, but then there were also candlesticks, and there were little mirrors, and there was a telephone, like one of those old-timey telephone things with the dials, you know, and so many random things in this shop. I just can't describe it. Such an atmosphere. I've never, ever seen anything like it.
I bet the guy came out with a cigar and a funny hat.
It was that type of atmosphere. Yeah,
perspiration marks on his hat and clothes. But, what can I do for you?
You could actually spend an hour in the shop and you wouldn't have seen all the little things.
Wonderful.
On all the shelves. Incredible.
And that, I've noticed that about, you know, because I live in Brunswick and Sydney Road, there's quite a few Arabic shops.
Yep.
And the delightful Mr. Habib that I call him on Sydney Road, he has one of those $2 shops. And he sort of has this amazing, you know, when you go into a $2 shop, they're relatively organised. But he has this amazing way of putting things so close together and so neat and tidy. And then, you know, I just really buy my, you know, tea light candles there. And he'll come out and sort of take them just in case, you know, you don't, you sort of mess it up. And then says, oh, have a look at these beautiful candles they have here. You know, he's like, oh, Mr. Habib, they're wonderful, you know. And there is that sort of, yeah, that different way of doing things. It's just wonderful.
In a few moments, we'll come back and hear more about Corey's travels to Jordan. And we'd also like some, you've got some thinking music coming up about some handy tips for people who are visiting the Middle East and some must-sees in Jordan here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Katie Lang, and you're listening to Australia's first and only lesbian and gay radio station, Joy 94.9.
You sure are, here on Detours on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Lindsay, and that was a great track by Deep Forest called Sweet Lullaby. And Corey's been talking with us today about his experiences of visiting Israel a number of times and now Jordan. What were you going to talk about? I just went a complete blank.
About Jordan.
Jordan. Oh, yeah.
Just continuing a bit more about Jordan. Because that was probably the most interesting thing about the most recent trip, because it was the only new things I did. In Jordan, they did... Before I say anything else, with all the uprisings in some of the countries around the area, everything seemed to be dead. So a lot of tourists are really holding back from traveling in those areas, especially now. And even though it was the summer holiday period in Europe and all the Northern Hemisphere, there's not much in terms of, you know, anything busy. There weren't many travelers. Everything was relatively quiet. And so all the hotels were giving off-peak rates and things like that. And I think that may have changed my experience. You know, it might have been a lot different if there are a lot more people there. But everything's also marketed so that you can have your Bedouin tent experience and things like that. You can sleep overnight in a tent, and you can have the meal with the Turkish style coffee and things like that.
Wow!
Yeah,
a night in a Bedouin tent sounds rather hot.
It sure does. Now, talking about food and all things yummy, we've got Pete Dillon here from Cravings who'll be joining us at 1 o'clock. What have you got coming up on the show?
Today it's all wine time. No food. We're just talking wine. So Rosé Revolution, Australia's most expensive new release wine. We'll talk about cellaring wine and quite possibly drink some wine.
Oh, sounds very good.
Best we hang around if they're quite possibly going to be drinking some wine.
Sounds very good. Bedouin tents. Now, that would be a fantastic experience. Did you get the opportunity to do that?
We didn't do that, actually. Yeah, my sister was a bit disappointed that we didn't get there. But things like that are very easily done. Everything we did was fantastic. One thing that you can get there is the flavoured tobacco. Everyone has a different name for it. So it's either nargila, argila, shisha, hookah, that thing with the flavoured tobacco and the...
I love those.
Yeah. We did that in one of these... I don't know how to describe it. It was part of that market that I was talking to, that, you know, when all the shops opened around it, and suddenly... We sort of started asking people, where could we get that? And they pointed upstairs. So you had to walk through this this narrow staircase in between a couple of shops. And then there was this bar up the top where I don't think there was any alcohol. I'm pretty sure that's a halal thing or a Muslim thing as well. But everybody was having, I'm pretty sure they call it in Jordan, argila. I'm pretty sure that's the word they were using.
Nothing like a little shisha every now and again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing because it really is refreshing. Yeah. You know, and everybody now seems to have to, yeah, yeah, seems to have to. Like, I was chatting to somebody the other day and they said, oh, no, no, I like mango. And I said, well, I haven't had mango. I still really, I'm a bit of a traditionalist with my shisha. I still like the apple and a little bit of cinnamon or something thrown in. But Jodie, we've just had a really interesting question here from Kathy, and her girlfriend and herself are travelling to Egypt and Jordan at Christmas. Is it easy to get around from Amman down to the Dead Sea, Petra and Wadi? Ruin, I think that is.
Wadi Rum, yeah.
Yeah, Wadi Rum. Or would you suggest a tour? We may get a ferry from Egypt to Aqaba. Aqaba? Do you, Aqaba? God, my Arabic is very bad, isn't it?
You're doing fine.
Do you know how much, do you know much about this? It would be good to know what their attitudes are to lesbians and if we should refrain from hand-holding in public, which is a really good question.
Wow, that's a, that last question about holding hands, two women holding hands in public, I don't know. That's, I just don't know. I wouldn't, myself, I wouldn't go there with my boyfriend and hold his hand, but I'm not sure. As opposed, as far as getting from, what was it, Wadi Rum to the Dead Sea, was it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Amman down to the Dead Sea.
So there's, so with the Dead Sea, you can go both ways. So the Dead, one of the sides of the Dead Sea is in Jordan, the other side is in Israel. And actually, they were going to Egypt as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if they're going to go through Israel or not, because Israel is sort of in between Jordan and Egypt. But either way, there's many ways of getting there. And we took a taxi. So we took a taxi down from Amman to Petra. That took a long time. But I think the taxi for all four of us was something like $100 or something like that. You know, it was,
yeah,
really, it was so nothing. It was so affordable. And all, everything around there. So no matter what you want to do, because it's this, you know, downtime in travel, I think everything's going to be cheap and quite easy. And everybody wants to do things for you too.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I'm off, Jodie.
Sounds terrific. Oh, thanks so much for joining us, Corey, and sharing your experiences both Israel and Jordan. And I think those questions are really terrific, to, and we love
absolutely
it when people ask insightful things. My advice would be go to Smart Traveller to start with, and the Lonely Planet website has some really good information about culture.
And hold hands, and then if you, if anything happens, just say you're sisters.
But we're not liable for that.
No. I never said that.
No, that's great.
Thanks, Jodie.
Thanks, Lindsay. We'll be back again next Saturday at 12 noon here on Joy 94.9. Coming up shortly, we'll have the news, and then after that at 1 p.m, we'll have Pete Dillon with Cravings here on Joy.
Gorgeous.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.